Mark chapter number 4 this morning. Mark chapter number 4, if you recall last week, we spoke regarding the seed, the candlestick, and our faith, and talked about being what kind of soil that our heart is. Are we receptive to God's word and God leading in our life? And the seed can only grow as the soil allows it to. And we've got to make sure that our soil is in the right condition for God's word to work in our heart, so that way we can experience growth in our life. And not just that, but we also spoke about the parable of the candle set on the candlestick. If you have a light that is shining in the darkness, you don't hide it under the bed. You don't stick it in the closet. You set it so everybody can see it. What good is light in the darkness if the light is hid? Same thing when it comes to us and our faith. What good is our faith at our job site or amongst our family and friends if we hide the fact that we are Christians, if we hide the light that is within us? What good is it? And then lastly, what good is our faith if we're not exercising it? But we don't have to worry about how big or how small our faith is. Jesus even said, all it takes is a faith the size of a mustard seed, the grain of a mustard seed. And with that, you can move mountains and you can do great things. And so God is not looking for us to have mountain-moving faith. He just wants us to take the small amount of faith that we have and trust it to Him. And He's the one that multiplies it in order to move mountains. So we need to make sure that we are trusting God in every area of our life, with every part of our life, and let Him be the one to move the mountains with just a little bit of faith that we possess sometimes. And I know sometimes our faith is shaken. I know sometimes we're stretched to our limits. I know sometimes it's hard to trust God, especially through the difficult times in our life. But God is saying, hey, you trust me, and I will enable big things to happen in your life. So, Mark chapter 4, verse number 35 says this: and the same day that Jesus was speaking on the mount, on the water, remember last week we talked about he got into a ship and went off away from the coast a little bit because there were so many people pressing upon him. So he's in the boat and he's speaking to the people that are gathered there on that hillside. And it says that on that same day, the even was come, he saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Let's go to the other side. Let's move where we're at right now. It's even time. The crowd's there. If we go back to the seashore, they're going to surround us. They're going to press upon us. You know what? Let's just get away from this crowd. Let's go to the other side of the lake. You know, the other side of the Sea of Galilee here. And so it says that he sent away the multitude, and they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And that wasn't uncommon. His disciples were fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee well. They had fished there for many years. And there were a lot of other little ships close by that they were fishing as well. But Jesus, he wasn't going out there for a midnight fishing trip. He just wanted to get to the other side of the sea and minister to the cities and towns over there. But it says that, but that on the way there, in the midst of their journey, verse number 37 says that there arose a great storm of wind. It says, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. A couple of years ago, we went up to Elephant Butte for a men's camping trip. And a couple of the men in the church had, I mean, there was probably about 40, 50 of us guys that were out there. We were grilling. We were just having a good time playing football there and just having fun, you know, just doing guy stuff, you know, the kind of stuff that makes men grunt and women go, oh, you know, that kind of guy stuff. All right. We were just out there, you know, having fun. And I remember that night vividly because me and a buddy of mine, we were sharing a tent, and we set up the tent, and we thought everything was good to go. But in the middle of the night, for some reason, rain decided to come and mess up a good thing. So it actually started with a little bit of wind. And you know, we didn't think anything of that. I mean, The wind was hitting the tent a little bit, and, you know, the flap started, you know, doing this, and it was kind of an older tent, so, you know, we were like, all right, dude, let's zip it up, and so, you know, that way, you know, we don't have to worry about any, you know, sand blowing in here, any dirt, anything like that, you know, no big deal. And then the wind started, you know, getting even worse, and, you know, I started getting worried, man, I can't sleep, you know, the wind was howling so much, like, you couldn't go to sleep peacefully. And then the rain started with that little bit of, you know, the little drops, you know, just the, you know, almost that misting rain. I'm not even kidding. 30 seconds later, it was torrential downpour. I mean, it was so bad. The rain was collecting. And, you know, the tent was shaped the way it was supposed to. You know, it's kind of like a little, like, dome kind of thing. And the water's supposed to run off the sides. The water was coming down so hard, the tent collapsed on top of us. So me and my buddy James, we're in this tent. There's water pouring all over us. We're completely soaked. And we weren't even on the lake. We were on the shore. And we're getting soaked. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? You know, this is messed up. We're not even on the boat getting wet. We're on the shore getting wet. That's how bad this storm was. But I mean, it's not like our life was in peril, like we were going to drown because of the rain, anything like that. You know, it's not like we're in the midst of the lake and the waves and the rain is beating upon our ship and you know, we're being tossed to and fro. We're getting seasick and we're in fear for our lives. We had it easy. But even then I was like, man, this stinks. I want to get out of this. I ended up sleeping in the back of a GMC Yukon for the whole night. And you know what? It was the best sleep I ever got. Those things are nice and comfortable in the back seats. I think I kind of messed up the leather, you know, with all the moisture that I had. But you know what? The guy in the church, he was very understanding. He's like, you boys can, you know, camp out of my Yukon. That's okay. It was great. It was wonderful. But you know, could you imagine being in the ship with Jesus? You're on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus says, hey, we need to go over to the other side. And you're like, no big deal, Jesus. But fishermen that were with Jesus, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, these guys who had spent their whole lives fishing on the Sea of Galilee, they knew when a storm was coming. And they knew when that storm was going to be bad. They had probably, over the course of their life and their profession, had faced a lot of difficult storms. But this storm was different. This storm was beating the boat so much. It says, when you look at the scripture, you miss one word or two and it changes the whole meaning. But verse number 37 says that the great storm of wind was so much that the waves beat not against the ship, not onto the ship, but into the ship. The water was coming on board. And see, that is why, you know, you've heard me talk about how much I don't like the ocean. This is why. You know, the one time, you know, I have a feeling if I lived back during the early 1900s, the one time I muster up enough courage to get onto the boat, it would have been the Titanic. That's how unlucky I would think that I was, you know. And so I'm not going to take the chance that, oh, you know what, let's take a Caribbean cruise, honey, or let's take an Alaskan cruise. My cruise ship will be the one that a couple years ago ends up, you know, flipped over. That would be the one that would happen to me because of my deathly fear. I mean, that would be so... I mean, one of my greatest fears is to be on a ship, it's rocking to and fro, and I know that I'm going to end up in the water. Now, yes, it has something to do with the fact that my parents tragically introduced me to Jaws when I was like 7 or 8 years old, and I was scarred for life because, like, I couldn't even get into a swimming, I'm not even kidding, folks, I couldn't even get into a swimming pool because I was worried about, you know, as a 7, 8-year-old boy, that there were going to be sharks in the swimming pool. I know it's a childhood irrational fear. I've even seen memes on Facebook about it. My childhood irrational fear, and there's a big old shark in a swimming pool. But you know what? It was real to me. I didn't want to have anything to do with any large body of water. I don't like it. So I can imagine, you know, being in that ship. If I was one of those disciples, I'd be hanging onto the side of the boat going, I'd be scared. I'd be in fear for my life. I wouldn't want to be on that boat. And you can imagine, though, these disciples had been on this water for years. They had been through storms. And even these guys are afraid. That's when you know how bad it was. Because these fishermen who had endured storm after storm, even they are afraid for their life. The ship was filling up with water. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. They know that if their boat goes down, they're going to drown. They're gone. Well, wait a second. These disciples have Jesus in the boat. I mean, they've seen Jesus do miracles. He's healed the lepers. He's raised the dead back to life. He opened the eyes of the blind man. He loosened the tongue of the mute. He opened up the ears of the deaf. Hey, wait a second. We got Jesus in the boat. We're going to be okay. Hey, where's Jesus? Peter goes, Andrew, he's in the back of the boat asleep. What? What's Jesus doing asleep in the boat? Doesn't he know we're going to die? Doesn't he know we're in peril for our lives? And Jesus is asleep in the back part of the ship on a pillow. He's not even laying down just on the wood, just, you know, chillaxing. He's getting comfortable. Man, if I were the disciples, if you were the disciples, wouldn't you be a little frustrated with Jesus? Jesus, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know we're about to die? This boat is getting rocked to and fro, and you're sitting back there just chilling. What in the world, Jesus? Wouldn't you think that the disciples' faith was being put to the test in this moment? Then they come to him. They wake him up. Even the storm didn't wake him up. You see how fazed Jesus was by this rocky storm? He was still sleeping through the whole thing. I guess Jesus was a deep sleeper like me. You know, usually if I fall asleep, and there have been times where, you know, I'm working on lesson plans or something, I'll fall asleep on the couch, and my alarm will go off to wake me up at 5:45 in the morning, and I'll be like this, like laying in, you know, in the upright reclined, you know, semi-reclined position with my fingers still on the keyboard, you know, I'll fall asleep like that, and I'll go to my wife in the morning, I'll be like, honey, why didn't you wake me up? And she says, I tried. She's like, I shook you. You know, I did everything short of like splashing water on your face, you know, to wake you up. I can sleep through almost anything. But you better believe if I'm on a boat and it's rocking to and fro, I'm wide awake. But Jesus, uh-uh. He had his pillow. He was taking it easy. He was relaxing while the disciples were freaking out in fear for their lives. They wake him up. Can you imagine Peter going up to Jesus? Master! You know, when in the Bible, we read it in the Bible, it sounds so calm, doesn't it? You know, when it says, verse number 38, they came and they awake him and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, when pastors read, you know, the scripture, when you read this scripture, you got to think about where these people are coming from. I don't think Peter walked up to Jesus and was like, Hey, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to perish? Shouldn't you wake up? No. I picture Peter coming on to the back of the boat going, Jesus, Master, don't you care that we're about to die? You're just sitting in the back here sleeping. We're about to die. Who do you think you are? It says Jesus doesn't even answer him. Jesus doesn't even talk to the disciples. He doesn't even worry about it. It says that he rose up, he rebukes the wind, and says unto the sea, and I don't think it's a peace be still. I think he commands the waves. I think he gets up there on the back part of that ship, and he looks over and just says, peace be still. And you know what happens at that exact moment? It says the wind ceased and there was a great calm. That word ceased there implies immediately stopped. Can you imagine that? You're rocking, you're getting seasick, you feel like you're about to die, and Jesus just gets up and says, peace be still, and instantly the boat stops. And it's instant calm on the Sea of Galilee. Wouldn't that freak you out a little bit? Could you imagine the adrenaline rush that the disciples were coming out of? Because they're like, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. Oh. What just happened? What just happened? It was all crazy. We were about to die, and all of a sudden, instant calming peace. How does that happen? Can I tell you, there's only one person that can make that happen, and that's God. Only one person can take a troubled sea that is about to kill a bunch of fishermen on a boat, and then instantly after the words, and you know what? Jesus didn't even have to speak the words. He didn't even have to wake up. Jesus could have just been like, and it would have stopped. He could have just done a simple hand motion, just, and then the winds would have stopped. But he got up. He rebukes the winds. He says, peace, be still. And it wasn't a gradual, oh, the storm gradually calmed. No, Jesus was showing that he had the power over nature. You know how he had the power over nature and over the seas? Because he was the one who created them. And he said, wind, cut it out. Waves, stop. And there was instant peace. Oh, that's great, Pastor. That's a nice little story you told us. What does it have to do with us? You know, I think Jesus allowed this to happen to the disciples, even though he was there with them, even though they had his presence in the boat with them, they still experienced fear over faith. And you know how I know that? Because look at what he says to them in this next verse. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Can you imagine that? These disciples got to walk and talk with Jesus literally every day. They got to see the miracles that he did over and over again. They're on this boat. They're being rocked and tossed by the storms on the sea. And all of a sudden, their faith is shaken so much so that they allow fear to dominate their life. And you know, you read this and you go, man, these disciples, what a bunch of faithless wimps. Man, these guys, you know, they should have trusted Jesus. But how many times do we, on the sea of life, we're going along in our little boat, we've got Jesus in our boat, we've got Jesus in our heart and in our life, and everything's hunky-dory, and you know, we're okay steering the ship, and hey, Jesus, you know what, go ahead and take a nap. We've got this right now. We can steer the ship. I've got this under control. We don't need you. How about you just go lay down and take a nap? I've got this. But all of a sudden, when bad things start happening, when negative circumstances start coming around, when the storm starts brewing, when the waves start crashing into our ship, all of a sudden, that's when we need God to be awake. That's when we say, oh, you know what? I can't do it anymore. Trouble's coming. You know what, Jesus? Come and save me at the last minute. I'm sorry, but God shouldn't be our last minute solution to our problems. God shouldn't be the person that we're going to only when we've exhausted every available resource and all of our available strength and we can't do it anymore. Jesus shouldn't be our last ditch effort, our last second resort. Jesus should be the first option. When the waves started hitting the boat, when the sea started rocking, they should have gone immediately to Jesus and said, you know what, Jesus? We can't do this. We need your help. But for how long did the disciples try to row against the wind? How long did the disciples try to use their knowledge and their, oh, well, you know what? We've been through greater storms on our own. We can do it again. We don't need Jesus' help. Let's just let him sleep. But when their strength was gone, when all of their wisdom and experience was exhausted, they turned to Jesus. Sorry, but Jesus is too awesome and too wonderful to be used as a fire escape. We shouldn't use Jesus as our parachute just when the plane's going down. He should be the first one we go at the first sign of trouble. Even before trouble comes, we should entrust Jesus. You know what, Jesus? You're going to take care of us. You promised to take care of us. We're going to let you guide our life through the good times and through the bad. We're not just going to come to you when times get tough. We're going to always be faithful to you. But you know what? I've been guilty of it before too. We get so used to the routine of life that you're not, we're like, you know what? Man, I guess I really don't need to pray this morning. Everything's okay. Well, I made it through one day without reading my Bible, so you know what? guess it's not really as big of a deal as it should be. And then we get hit with hardships, and what's the first thing that we do? Oh God. Oh God, why did you let this happen? You know what's sad is that the disciples should have had faith before they got in the boat, while they were in the boat, and even while they were in the storm. But when the storm came, their faith was gone and they allowed fear to take control of their life. You know what Jesus had said? He had just spoken. Think about it. He had just spoken to them about having faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. And he said, you can do great things if you have that little bit of faith. I think he was putting the disciples to the test. I think that storm wasn't a natural storm. I think Jesus allowed that storm to come into their life to test and see if, hey, do you really have that faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed like I just got done talking to you about? Did you really just remember what I said, Peter? Andrew, were you listening when I talked about having faith? Or did you let fear consume and control your life? Look at what they said. Verse number 41. It says, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wow, I guess he really is the Son of God. He just stopped the winds and the waves. What an amazing, amazing God. You know what? I'd rather have God prove his faithfulness to me and be faithful to God in the normal times than waiting for God to show up and do something amazing like that during the difficult times. We talked a little bit about that in our Bible study on Thursday night. Not letting fear control us and not letting worry and doubt take over our lives. Trusting God. You know, we talked about how, all the things that God saved us from, the hopelessness of eternal life without Jesus Christ, the fear of death and hell. And we talked about how God saved us from all that. We shouldn't let fear control our lives. Because if fear is controlling our lives, God is not. If we don't have enough faith to trust God day by day, then we are allowing our flesh and the fears that our flesh has and the uncertainty about tomorrow to rule and reign and dictate everything that happens in our life. But I don't want to be run by fear. I don't want to be controlled by worry and doubt. I want God to lead. I want God to guide. I want God to direct. I want faith to move me, not worry and fear. These disciples had no faith in Christ. All their faith was in themselves. All their trust was in themselves, and it almost got them killed. You know, don't wait till the boat's rocking before you call on Jesus. Don't wait till the water is overfilling into your life and you feel like you're about to drown before you call out to Jesus. Lord, take control of my life. You know, carry Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel. When all my hope is gone, now you can take control of my life. When I've exhausted all my resources, now you can lead. God, when I've tried everything humanly possible, now I'm going to let you show up and do a miracle. No. Jesus doesn't want to be just that. He wants to be much more than that. He wants to be your guide and companion on your day-to-day journey. He wants to be the one that comes alongside and brings encouragement and speaks to your heart whenever you're about to go into that trial and difficulty. He wants to be the one that is guiding and directing every day of your life. Don't wait till times get tough to turn your focus and attention to God. Because maybe Jesus did that so that way the disciples would. He allowed that storm so that way they would focus more on Him. Don't wait till the storm comes till maybe even God allows the storm to come to get your attention and focus back to Him. Give it to Him while the sea is good. Give it to Him when times are good and when you're riding high on the mountain and things are going great in your life. Don't wait till you're in the valley to call out to God. God, rescue me this one more time. Be faithful to God and don't let fear control your life. I got an important question to ask you. Is Jesus even in your boat today? Have you invited Jesus to come into your life to forgive you of your sins and save you? If you haven't, you're facing the storms of life all on your own. And can I tell you, without Jesus in the boat, the waves are going to come crashing down. That boat is not going to stop rocking until you're in the sea. How about you invite the Lord into your life? Let Him take control of the boat. And when those storms come, you can rest easy because the Lord's in the boat and it ain't going to sink. If He's in control, if He's guiding, He can speak to the winds and the waves that are hitting your life, and He can bring peace. If He can bring peace to the troubled storm, He can bring peace to your heart this morning. If you're dealing with restlessness, if you're dealing with worry, if you're dealing with fear this morning, I would say faith and worry, or fear and worry, are nothing more than an absence of faith, of total trust and complete trust in God this morning. How big is that faith? Does it even exist? Pastor, I don't have that big of faith. My faith's kind of small. Yeah. Remember what Jesus said, so was that mustard seed. But it can do great things when that faith is entrusted to the Lord.